The Columbia Workshop is on the air, presenting the second program in the new series of radio's foremost laboratory for new writing and production techniques. The Columbia Workshop presents Anniversary, written by Joseph Ruskow and produced and directed by Mark Sloab. The special musical score is by Charles Paul. Anniversary.
Isn't it a crying shame? This business of divorce, I mean. Couple of sweet young things crazy in love and then suddenly, poof, final decree. Just a little misunderstanding half the time, too. Not really important, but tragic just the same. I've been thinking about it a lot. About a certain boy and girl. They were married exactly a year and were crazy in love. And it all went smash the night of their first anniversary. The boy said,
I'm human.
And the girl said,
He's human.
You're darn right I'm human.
That's all you gotta say?
That's all I gotta say.
Get out.
Say that again.
Get out. Get out. I never want to see you again as long as I live.
Okay, I'm gone.
Okay, go ahead.
Goodbye.
Good riddance.
Oh, too bad. Cried. And then came the divorce. The end, Finney. And somewhere she is remembering. And somewhere he, too, is drinking his grief away. Now, it seems to me that when the boy said,
I'm human.
And she said,
He's human.
You're darn right I'm human.
That's all you gotta say?
That's all I gotta say.
Get out.
That the boy should never have said.
Say that again.
For under the circumstances, what else could the girl say but...
Get out! Get out!
But if instead he had said,
You mean it, Mary?
Or...
Gosh, Mary.
Or simply...
Mary.
Right. See what I'm driving at? Who knows? Perhaps this would have happened.
Come over here to the couch, Paul, and tell me about it.
Whew, you had me scared.
Well, tell me about it, honey. It's 12 midnight. Where were you?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mary. Honest, you can kick me from here to Macy's window. I would have come home early and brought you a present and taken you out and stuff, but...
But?
Oh, I should have, naturally, but...
But?
Look, sweetheart, what a day I had. It's almost time to knock off. My eyes are getting glassy. I'm at the pie case, wrestling with a lemon meringue for a customer who says he's been waiting about 6 months for it. A woman wants a glass of water. All right. I give the guy his pie and ankle a bit down the counter to get the lady's water. The young girl with the lady also wants water. The couple next to them figure they could go some water, too. And a half a dozen other monkeys start crying for it and getting my goat.
So what's all this got to do with why...
Steve Miller's shouting to me, pick him up, 6 hamburgers, take him away. Bunch of other people are through wolfing their grub and asking me how much. A guy with a sawed-off nose,
how... So what? Come to the point.
Well...
Well?
Darn and all, Mary, I just plain forgot all about this being our anniversary.
So you admit it?
No, Mary.
He admits it. Take your feet off that couch. So where you been all evening?
Come now, Mary, don't get excited. This never really happened.
Huh?
You're not really talking to Paul.
No?
No. You're divorced.
Say, what is this?
Hey, what's going on here anyway?
Trying to see what would have happened if you'd had a second chance. Look, Paul, make like this.
Like this?
That's right. Now, do it to her, on her lips.
Ow! Take that, Paul.
Wait a minute. Maybe that was the wrong approach. Now then, your alibi, Paul. See if it can't come out better this time. And for goodness sakes, don't look so stupid. No wonder she threw you over. Wait. First, we ought to have a little musical pause, I think.
Mary, you can kick me from here to Macy's window, but I didn't for 1 minute forget it was our anniversary. Not for one tiny minute.
No kidding?
Of course, I should have brought you something. I know. Flowers and stuff.
Well, why didn't you?
Well, I...
Go on.
I... You know, baby, I've been saving up dough for months, just for this occasion.
I don't know any such thing.
And so, hooray. I finally this morning got $25 in my pocket all in one lump.
You're sure that wasn't what I gave you to pay the rent last week?
And so I'm feeling fine, and I get to the job.
Go on, I'm listening.
Baby, you know, you got Steve Miller all wrong. He's a swell guy. He thinks the world of you.
Yeah, that's smart, Alec. Well, what's all this got to
well,
do with you?
Well, here's how it is. There's a lull in the afternoon, and we're talking about this and that, and all of a sudden he says to me out of a clear...
Paul, I want you to lend me five fivers.
Well, you're crazy. You think I'm a millionaire?
Oh, sure. I don't believe a word of it.
Paul, I want you to do it for me, at all costs. It's life or death, you might say.
Well, Steve, it so happens I happen to have on me just the amount in question, but
oh, sure. Tell me another.
Paul, you can't let me down. Look, my wife's sister's friend's dog got run over by a streetcar, and we got to buy her another. The poor little girl's crying her eyes out. She just sits there and cries and cries.
Good Lord.
Your wife's sister's friend?
My wife. Huh. I ain't humanitarian, she says, and it's up to us. Besides, Paul, what a gorgeous redhead she is.
Your wife? Since when?
No, her sister's friend. Paul, you just got her.
Steve, much as I'd like to, this rent money I got on me...
Uh-huh.
I mean, this dough I saved up is headed for a special purpose. Tonight's our first anniversary, me and a missus.
Well, hey, congratulations, Paul.
Thanks. I'd never go and forget our first anniversary, you know, fine thing.
Oh, sure.
I'd be a heel to.
Yeah, how is the sweet little woman?
She's the sweetest little woman in the whole wide world.
Oh, hey, she's sure some sweet little woman.
So you see, Steve, as soon as I knock off today, I'm really going to town and buy her an item that'll knock her eye out. Believe you me.
Paul, I don't blame you. Now, you take my Norma. She is downright ugly. She's my wife, but I got eyes if I want to be frank about it. But Mary, a sweet little woman. Boy, do I envy you. It ain't true I ever called her dumpy. It's exaggerated, including I ever knocked her cooking.
I don't know about that.
Well, so far it's a choice between a rhinestone brooch and a Hedy Lamarr lounging robe. I got to decide today. And tonight we step out for a change from our two-room rat hole, as she calls it. Boy, will she be surprised.
You said it.
Paul, I appreciate all that.
Hold on a minute. Paul, I've been listening to all this, and what I want to know is, what in the world is a Hedy Lamarr lounging robe?
Huh?
I'm asking Paul.
Oh.
Well, I don't know. I've seen it advertised. Why?
Just curious.
Well, it's cut, you know, a Hedy Lamarr lounging robe, like I said.
But how's it differ from an ordinary one? Do you know, Steve?
I never heard of it. My wife wears a kimono, I think.
Ask someone in the kitchen there.
Okay, I'll ask the fry cook. He's got 12 kids. Hey, Dominic.
Yes, Steve.
Hey, come out of the kitchen a minute.
Please, I'm a busy. What do you want?
Hey, Dominic, you ever heard of a Hedy Lamarr lounging robe?
Huh?
A Hedy Lamarr lounging robe.
Steve, you make good joke. Woman, that's all you got on your mind.
Hey, I remember one thing. Comes to me now.
Yes?
It's fluffy.
It's fluffy?
It's fluffy.
Oh, let's have a little soft music. All right, Steve. Let's get back to that loan.
Now, Paul, I appreciate all that. But knowing you and your little woman as I do, I'm sure you ain't got the heart to refuse me, Paul. I already went out on a limb and pledged the dough so that poor girl can have a dog.
I don't know. Mary be bind up, Steve.
Oh, you're wrong. I guarantee she'll see the point. Paul, I want you to do it for me. Besides, I got a lot of drag around here, remember? I can make things plenty, you know.
Well, since you put it that way.
That a kid? I know you'd come through. Hey, give the missus my regards. She's sure some sweet little woman.
Baby, no kidding. I loaned it to Steve Miller.
Do you expect me to fall for that?
Well, honey...
What do you take me for, a dummy or something?
Paul, it's hopeless.
All right. So I'll tell you. I didn't want to scare you with a recitation of the true facts, but I'm disbelieved anyhow, it seems, so I'll spill it. guess what really happened to me.
You were murdered, I hope.
I was robbed. You see, I'm walking along Times Square after work.
Oh, that's a good one.
I'm walking along Times Square this evening.
No, Paul, not that.
I'm walking along. Gee, I'd never believe it ever.
What?
That little old dame with the pussycat.
What are you talking about?
There I was, window shopping for you. I had it all picked out, a chinchilla coat like you always wanted.
For $25?
Down payment. And she brushes up against me, kind of. I don't pay no attention to her at first, see? I'm looking in the window. Anyway, she's blind and about 90.
No, Paul, not that old wheeze.
And then? And when she passed by me, I get a funny feeling if I look for my wallet, I'll find it gone. So at first, I just stand there, afraid to look. But then I look, and sure enough, it's gone.
And the little old lady with the pussycat?
Melted into thin air.
Paul.
I'm telling you, Mary.
I've heard enough.
But, Mary.
Stop it, Paul. You've bungled it again.
Okay. You asked for it. I didn't want to worry. It was all your fault, but you asked for it. I lost it. There's a hole in my...
You what?
Oh, my God.
Sure, Mary. You should have sewed it up long ago. I've been telling you. The left pocket. Do you want to see?
Paul Anderson, you're the biggest liar on earth. Can't you ever tell the truth?
I keep trying, but you get me all mixed up.
Oh, it's too bad about you.
Stranger than fiction sometimes.
Okay, Paul. Out with it. You gambled it away, didn't you?
Well, to tell the truth, little Rebel was running the third at Saratoga.
I thought so.
Good night.
With the rent money I gave you, huh? Confess.
Baby, I can explain everything.
I thought so.
Good night.
And also, you plain forgot all about it being our anniversary, didn't you?
I plain forgot.
Good night.
I thought so.
We're going in circles.
He plain forgot. Well, I'll give you something you won't forget. Take this.
Ow!
And this.
Ow!
And this.
Ow!
Hold on. Something's wrong here. She just bopped him on the head with a bunch of dinner plates. Sound man.
Hello?
I think along about here, we ought to have some more sound effects. Dishes being broken.
Coffee cups?
Dinner plates.
Being broken how?
On a conch.
Male or female?
What's the diff? Wait, not yet. IQ! Huh. All right, Mary, let's get back to where you hollered.
He plain forgot. Well, I'll give you something you won't forget. Take this.
Ow!
And this.
Ow!
And this.
Ow!
Thanks. That's it. Lends a little plausibility. You know. By the way, sound man, how'd you get that effect?
Just broke a bunch of dinner plates.
I see. And now, a musical pause.
And here I've been sitting, all alone, sitting, right on my anniversary.
Don't cry, Mary. I can't stand it.
Oh, I could just lay right down and die.
Please, honey.
You haven't even answered me once. Where you been all evening? It's past midnight.
Haven't I told you?
No, you haven't. You've been evading.
I thought I told you.
Where were you?
Here's a handkerchief.
I don't want your darn old handkerchief.
Your nose is red.
You got through work at 5:30. Where were you since then? Tell me.
I was with,
With who?
With,
It's a lie.
I ain't even told her yet.
Whatever it is, it's a lie.
Now, if you'd only listen and don't jump the gun.
All right. With who?
With your brother, Herb. That's who.
My brother, Herb?
Your brother, Herb.
Her brother, Herb.
You're sure about that?
You want to lay a bet?
My brother, Herb.
Your brother, Herb.
Where?
In Brooklyn. At your mother's.
At my mother's?
Sure. I had to see him about maybe giving me something to do in his garage. I'm not mechanically inclined, but gosh, I'm fed up with the restaurant racket. I says to him, look, Herb.
Now, let me get this straight. You were at my mother's house.
Hey, what's eating you?
You were at my mother's.
Hey, stop it, Mary. Cut it out, will you? I'm getting sore.
Was my pa home?
Your pa? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was there, too.
Did you have supper there?
Well, naturally. You know your old lady.
And
What else did you do there?
Well, then we played a bit of knock rummy, me and Herb and your old man. Your old man came out about 2 bits ahead.
Well, what else?
Look, hon, I know what you're thinking, my hopping out to Brooklyn all of a sudden without first coming home to pick you up, but honest, I thought it'd only take me about an hour at most. I'd see Herb a minute and then shove off. Gosh, if we had a phone here, you know, I'd phone you. I didn't intend to stick around there at all, but you know your mother.
Yeah, Paul. Sure, I know my mother.
Sure.
Wish to goodness I knew her better a year ago today. I'd have taken her advice and married Barney Gibbons and been somebody.
Barney Gibbons, that louse? You ought to thank your lucky stars I kept you from him.
Paul.
Insurance. A healthy sap lays odds he won't live and Barney Gibbons cleans up.
Paul.
Huh?
You remember Dolly Stevens?
Who?
Dolly Stevens.
You kidding? You know we used to go around together.
Ever seen her since?
Me? Say, what's got into you? You know you're my one and only, hon, and that blonde's just so much water over the peroxide dam with me.
Not even lately you ain't seen her?
No. Why, I ain't seen her in a blue moon. Ain't laid eyes on her since I don't know when. Why?
Just wondering. What Herb have to say, Paul?
Huh? Oh, not much. This and that.
Will he take you on?
What do you mean?
In his garage.
Oh, well, he said he'd sleep on it. I'm not the mechanical type, he thinks.
You awful liar. You awful, awful, awful liar.
What's wrong now?
What's wrong? He wants to know what's wrong. He has the nerve, the gall to ask. Why did I ever marry you? Why do I put up with you? My brother Herb was here all evening.
Here?
Here.
All evening?
All evening.
In this apartment?
My brother Herb.
Your brother Herb?
My brother Herb.
He sure gets around.
And Ma and Pa, they get around too. They were here, too, while you were keeping them company in Brooklyn. They were all here to help us celebrate our anniversary. Oh, you wretch, you beast, you monster. Till 11:30 they were here, so no one thought you'd bother to show your face up anymore. And Ma baked a cake special, and we all waited with supper till it got cold, so you could finish your meal in Brooklyn. And Pa and Herb play casino here, while you were not rummying with them out there. And then my brother Joe drops in, and everybody pitying me, why I have to live with it but you.
It ain't possible.
So, where were you tonight? Don't tell me. Don't bother. I know. I know who you were out with on our anniversary.
You do?
Holding hands, going into the Strand Theater. I know everything.
Who told you?
My brother Joe. He seen you going in with a certain blonde.
Your brother Joe?
My brother Joe.
Gee, all your brothers get around.
Don't speak to me. I hate you.
Oh, listen, Mary, I've been wanting to tell you, but I was afraid you'd get the wrong impression.
Say, what's got into you, Mary? You know you might want to know,
Lee. Listen, Mary, you gotta listen.
No,
to me.
No, Mary, I ain't laid eyes on it since I don't
but
know
this is
when.
A terrible wrong impression
ain't
you
seen
got.
Seen in a blue moon, just so much water over the peroxide dam. On my anniversary, too.
Oh, please, sweetheart, I can explain everything.
Oh, go away. Leave me alone. I want to die.
Ladies and gentlemen of the radio audience, I have a few remarks to make on the subject of jealousy. There's absolutely no cure for jealousy, unless it is more jealousy. Until, in other words, the point of diminishing returns has been reached. And that, good people, is the point at which the jealousor finally hurls a tenderloin steak at the jealousy and agrees the whole thing is ridiculous. Perhaps, friends, a definition of terms would be helpful in extreme cases. Now, Funk and Wagnalls would have us believe that the disease manifests itself in the following wise. A state of being apprehensive of possible displacement by a rival. Revengeful on account of fickle treatment or the like. Earnestly and anxiously suspicious. Vigilance in guarding. Watchful. Demanding exclusive worship and love. And this brings me, again, folks, to the sad case of Paul and Mary, which will now be resumed dramatically. First, though, a last reminder. Paul and Mary have now been long since separated and divorced, as I mentioned earlier. In fact, it is now 28 weeks, 5 days, 13 hours, and 11 minutes since last they laid eyes on each other, though I have good reason to believe they are still wretchedly in love. Paul, they say, has lost 12 pounds. Mary has gained 2 pounds, but that's the way misery affects her. We are now concerned only with what might happen.
Listen, Windberg, can I put in my 2 cents worth?
Who are you?
An interested party.
Name?
Dolly Stevens. I heard her. I've been listening in. I know who she's hinting at, me. And I don't like what she's hinting, see? I'm a respectable, self-respecting steno. And I don't have to take that from no one. Sure, I angled for Paul a year ago serious, and I battled it out with her and lost. But I'm a game loser, see? And got my pride. And I made myself plenty scarce since their wedding. And Paul's telling the truth 100% when he says he ain't laid eyes on her.
Till tonight?
Well, tonight what happens is we bump into each other near where he works. And we're old friends, after all, and kind of embarrassed, if you know how it is. So the first thing you know, we're in the Strand. And I says to him, you happy, Paul? That starts him off. And was I sorry I asked. All I got was Mary, Mary, Mary. Mary this and Mary that. And Mary sneezed this morning.
That's all there was to it?
Say, mister, what are you insinuating? Listen, get this straight. If Paul just lifts his little finger, we can have Dolly Stevens still. And he knows it. Minus his appendix. He'd have to divorce her naturally. But would he? Don't make me laugh. She's got the Indian sign on him or something. She don't deserve a nice guy like him. He's too good to her. She ought to be ashamed of herself. A nice guy like Paul not even trusting him.
Then why didn't he come right out then and tell her?
Poor Paul. He should have right away. But could he expect her to understand? I ask you. So, he tries to lie his way out of it. And I know Paul from old. The world's worst lawyer. And who's Mary, anyhow? My word, such sanctimoniousness. Did you ever notice a double chin?
So it was just an innocent evening at the movies, Dolly, and all quite by accident?
Strictly on the up and up, I swear.
I'd like to say a word, sir, if you don't mind.
And who are you?
I'm the doorman at the Strand. I took their tickets when they came in this evening. I heard this young lady just now, and I can vouch for it. The young man seemed not happy.
Not happy?
Definitely. This blonde was doing all the talking and giggling. He seemed anxious to get rid of her, but he's chicken-hearted, I can see that. I know the type. Despite they were holding hands going in and going out.
That's right. I'm the usher at the Strand who steered them to their seats. I noticed a thing or two. She chewed his ear off through 2 features in path A, but she couldn't get to first base with him.
I sell gardenias in front of the Strand. He didn't buy one for the lady, the piker, though I already pinned one on her. A lot he cared about her.
I am a professor of psychology. I was right behind them as they came out of the Strand, and he was not in the least attentive to her. Anything that gives a situation intensity value gives it attention value. The blonde, though no doubt intense per se, evidently left this young man quite cold. However, he followed the path of least resistance by letting her drag him into a soda parlor.
That's right. He was a million miles away. I gave her a little Coke and him a big Coke. She was giving him the wakes, but he looked right through her. He took a few sips and screamed.
Leaving her there?
High and dry, without even paying a check. He flew out so fast he was just a hunk of wind.
Oh, that's important. Could you go into a little detail, I wonder? Just what were his last words?
Well, he all of a sudden looks at his watch and says something like,
"Holy smokes, what time is it? Mary will be... Gosh, I shouldn't have done this. She'll be worried stiff. Don't know what got into me. Honest, Mary. And then I made a beeline for the door, and that's how it ended. And that's all there was to it.
I don't believe it.
Mary, you got it.
I wouldn't believe it if you stood on your head.
Please, Mary, don't be like that.
I took their tickets when they came in this evening.
She don't mean nothing to me.
Mary this and Mary that. Mary sneezed this morning.
I'm the usher at the Strand who steered them to their seats.
Honest, hon.
If he just lifted his little finger.
He didn't buy one flower for
her. Honest, Mary.
I gave her a little Coke and him a big Coke.
Mary's got the Indian sign on him.
Oh, no.
I am a professor of psychology.
He's too good to her.
Honest, Mary, may I drop if I'm not telling you... Oh, well, what more can I say? I'm sorry. I plain forgot all about it being our first anniversary. After all, today seemed a Friday like any other Friday. Not too hot, not too cold, not too different. How was I to remember?
Well...
Gosh, Mary.
Well, I shouldn't, but... Okay, Paul. I forgive you.
Oh, baby. You do?
How can I resist that tone of voice?
Boy, am I happy. Give us a little kiss.
Oh, Paul!
Come on.
Oh, stop.
Well, I'm a son of a gun. Look what would have happened if they'd had another chance. Well, what do you know?
It's good to hear you giggling again, honey.
Oh, it's good to be made up. Relaxing.
Your teeth are like a pearl.
You big lug.
Where would I be without you? I hate to think.
Yeah, vice versa. I wouldn't want to live.
I'll tell you what, hon. We'll celebrate it tomorrow instead of our anniversary. Gee, I can kick myself.
Oh, forget it, Paul.
Boy, such a tremendous creature as you, and I go ahead and...
Oh, forget it, honey. It never happened.
Never again. I know when I'm well off. I'm going to stick so close to you, you can't breathe. She's still got a swell chassis, though.
Who?
Dolly Stevens.
What?
Uh-oh, what now?
What's the matter, hon? What did I say?
You unspeakable.
What did I say? All I said...
Oh, that's all he said.
I didn't mean nothing, Mary. A slip of the tongue, you might say. I'm human.
He's human.
You're darn right I'm human.
That's all you gotta say?
That's all I gotta say.
Get out.
Say that again.
Here it comes.
Get out. Get out. I never want to see you again as long as I live.
Okay, I'm gone.
Okay, go ahead.
Goodbye.
Good riddance.
This is where I came in. What's the use? The situation couldn't be saved, even if they had another chance. And somewhere she is remembering, and somewhere he, too, is drinking his grief away. Well, so long, folks.
You have just heard the second in the new series of Columbia Workshop broadcasts. Joseph Ruscall wrote Anniversary. Charles Paul provided the special musical score. The narration was by Ted Osborne, with James McCallion appearing as Paul and Peggy Stanley as Mary. Others in the cast included Art Carney, Nora Marlowe, Dick Nelson, Gregory Morton, Kermit Murdoch, and Nell Harrison. The program was produced and directed for the Columbia Workshop by Mark Sloan. Next week, for its third production, the Columbia Workshop will present Just a Plain Blue Suit, written by David Leeson and directed by Howard Barnes. Your announcer is Sandy Becker for CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.